So I want to give you guys a little bit of a kind of intro into God at the Movies from my perspective this week. We're in the middle of a series called God at the Movies, where we kind of take things out of movies and we kind of apply them to the Christian life. And I want to really start out, you know, heavy and strong and just really get my thoughts out there because I hate movies. Yeah, it's a little bit of a tough series for me because I wouldn't say I hate movies, but I'm very picky about movies. And my wife mourns for this because she loves movie nights, absolutely loves them. And I'm sitting there like falling asleep or something, right? But here's the thing about Rachelin is that Rachelin absolutely loves the movies that I absolutely hate. She absolutely loves them. And, you know, you might kind of get it, but for some of this, you know, she really loves Disney princesses. Really loves them. I wouldn't say that she hasn't grown up because my wife is quite mature, but she just loves it. And here's the thing about Disney princess movies is the fact that for me, when I sit down and watch and we have the knight who saves the princess and there's some big drama that happens and in the end, they live so happily forever after in the land. I'm sitting on the couch like, I feel so gushy and weird. Oh, like my insides feel like they're all like turned to mush. And I'm like, what am I supposed to feel here? I want something like testosterone boosting. I want something that makes my beard grow, stimulates hair follicles, right? You know, like, to put some hair on your chest, right? That's kind of the movies I like, right? And I don't like very many of them, right? That's right. That's right. I will have to get used to them at some point, right? So I was going through some sermon movie choices for this one. And as you guys can probably see here, I got a list here of some of the ones I was going through. The first one I had was Terminator. And maybe that wasn't such a good one for a church. And then White House Down, then I realized that was a really bad movie. And then I was like, oh, Battleship. That was a bad movie also and had no themes whatsoever. Then, oh, Alien versus Predator. That was a terrible one. Okay, maybe not. Rambo. Couldn't do that one. 1911. Nobody would know that one. But you guys can kind of see where I'm going with movies here. I like these like manly thriller movies. It's like action, explosions. You know, that kind of a thing, right? But you can see there's this big dynamic between me and Rachelin where, like, I'm like, let's watch a movie tonight, hon. And she's like, what do you want to watch? And I'm like, there's this new action-packed blockbuster thriller that came out that has absolutely no storyline whatsoever. And she's like, I hate that idea. We only like one movie series together. But here's the thing. As I was deciding, I was sitting on the couch, and I was like, hon, these ideas are terrible. Like, why would I ever use these as movies whatsoever? And they're also just terrible movies in terms of themes and being able to pull something out of them. And so she looks over at me, and she's like, hon, I got a really good idea for you. Something really good. You know, it's in theaters right now, actually. And it's something that has so many themes you'd be able to pull out of. And I was like, what is it, hon? I'll hear you out, you know. Maybe she knows me. Maybe it's going to be something good. The Little Mermaid. You can kind of see how I probably reacted to that one. But she wasn't wrong. You know, it had some themes, but I remember watching it, you know, maybe a little while ago at some, like, movie night or something, and I just was sitting on the couch like, I feel so icky. I feel so gushy. Ugh. And the guys in here might be able to relate to that. But here's the thing is that I was finally able to come to a conclusion on a movie choice that had a great balance between some amazing Christian themes, but something that was going to make my beard grow 2 inches while watching it, right? I chose a movie called Hacksaw Ridge. And yes, it's a war movie, but it's a movie that embodies what it means to persevere and to sacrifice as a Christian. Not just a normal movie, not just a normal war movie where a band of brothers gets together and they destroy the enemy and then the movie ends. It's not like that. But one single Christian's belief changed the tide of battle in one battle during the war and was decorated as one of the U.S. military's highest honors, all because of what he believed in. Before I get into that, I want to pray quick for this service. Would you guys all bow your heads with me? God, thank you so much for today. Thank you that we're in such a fun, interesting series, one that can get us all excited. But I'm also praying today that we can pull themes out individually from these movies, God, and that we can see the good in the movies that are around us And that even though there are some absolutely terrible, there's some absolutely terrible movies coming out, TV shows or whatever they are, God, that we can see that our culture still in some facet is based around you, God. And that we can pull some of these good themes out, Lord. I ask right now just to bless the congregation as they hear what you want to say to them today, God. Thank you, Lord. In your precious name, amen. So, let me just make this really clear here. Pastor Stephen talked last week and he said, we're doing movies that are recent, right? Very recent movies. And for me, I'll let you guys know just really quickly, this movie came out in 2016. For me, that's like a week in movie time, because for me, I've seen probably about 5 consecutive movies in theaters since then. So this movie for me happened like a week or two in movie time. So this is really recent for me. Really, really recent. But I want to share a few cool things about the story before we get into the kind of the meat and the bones of this. Yeah, it is. I was actually going, you read my mind, Christy. What the heck? So Hacksaw Ridge is a movie that's really close to my heart. Mainly because me and my brother absolutely love watching this movie. We've probably watched it like one or two times, maybe. Yeah, we've probably watched it that many times together. Probably just once, but we've watched this movie together, and we absolutely loved it when we were younger, and I've watched it a few times since then. But the biggest thing about the story is that it's a true story. It's something that actually happened, and because of that, that makes me feel so much more manly, because some man did this, so I can do it as well. But I want to share a few quick setting details before we get into this movie. This movie, it centers around a man named Desmond Doss. Andrew Garfield plays him, and the only reason I know that is because Andrew Garfield plays Spider-Man, and I like the Spider-Man movies. But Desmond Doss, he lives in this little town called Lynchburg, Virginia, and this is kind of taking place right after the United States was bombed in Pearl Harbor. I think that was 1942. Don't quote me on that. But this guy, his name is Desmond Doss, and he grew up in this family, the Dosses, that he had a brother and a mom and a dad. And unfortunately, the movie starts out very broken. We can see the dynamic of this family. It's so, so broken. The father, he was in the Great War or World War I. And during that time, he developed a very, very heavy amount of PTSD. And he had no clue what to do with this. He had no idea, so he turned to drinking, he turned to alcoholism, and it broke the family. The mom had no idea where to go. The boys were always beaten very badly when they were young, and the father was not the father figure that he used to be before the war. I want to show you guys a quick clip of this family dynamic that we have. So we see right off the get-go, we have a father who, as the kids are fighting, like if I was a father, I'd probably break the kids up fighting like that. But he was like, why would I just break them up when I can have them one beat the other and then beat the other one later? It's not a very good family dynamic. It was a broken household. That's what I'm trying to get across. But what we see here is that the Doss family was a Christian family. Though they were a broken family, they were a Christian family. They were a Seventh-day Adventist family. They went to a Seventh-day Adventist church. It's a denomination within Christianity. But as we see in the end of that clip there, we see that Desmond was very convicted right after what he did by the Ten Commandments. Back here, the Ten Commandments, it was almost like every house had a plaque with the Ten Commandments written on them. The true story of what Doss did, it doesn't show it in the clip there, but the true story says that when he hit his brother, that all he could do was go to this plaque and look at the "Thou shalt not kill," because in that scene, his brother almost dies. "Thou shalt not kill." And in that moment, there was this heavy conviction that set upon Desmond's heart. "Thou shalt not kill. What have I done? I could have ended my brother's life." It was terrible. And this experience broke Desmond. This conviction, it continued to grow throughout his life. I'm not going to show this clip, but later on in life, Desmond, he was working his job just outside the church in their small town of Lynchburg. And while he was working, he heard this giant crash outside of the church and screaming. And so he runs out the church and he sees that a car crash has happened outside the church. Somebody is underneath the car screaming, "Help me, help me." And as Desmond gets closer, he sees that this man's leg's been punctured by the car, and he's bleeding out all over the road. And instead of doing nothing, what Desmond does is he grabs his belt so quickly, wraps it around this man's leg, and ties a tourniquet, cutting off blood circulation so he won't bleed anymore. He throws him in the back of a pickup truck nearby, and he drives him to the hospital as fast as he can. Desmond's conviction was still there. This conviction, not just for thou shalt not kill, but the conviction for life. The conviction to have life for everyone and to sacrifice one's being to help save life. A popular thing that we see throughout the whole movie is this idea of, I don't care what happens to me, but I care what happens to others. So here's the thing is, during his hospital trip, Desmond, he meets the love of his life. And as you guys might know, I don't care about romance in movies like this whatsoever. Like, just the romance in action thrillers doesn't matter to me. So it's always usually really bad, like kind of barf-worthy romance. But he meets the love of his life, and during this time, they go to a movie together. And during the movie, what they see is this war propaganda as the United States has just been bombed in Pearl Harbor. You know, go to war, get ready to war, come and sign up today. And Desmond sees this, and the first thought on his mind is, though I will never pick up a weapon, though I will never harm anybody, what I'm going to do is sign up as a medic. I'm going to sign up as a medic, and I'm going to never pick up a gun, because in U.S. Constitution, there is a rule that, I can't say this properly, but a conscientious observer, okay, there, I got it right. Oh, the objective observer, whatever. he was able to do this while being a medic. So Desmond and some other guys go to a boot camp to get ready for war. He leaves his future wife back at home, and he goes to boot camp. And here's the thing about Desmond. He's in the barracks, and they're all getting to know each other, and they start training really hard. All of the war movie training sequences you could imagine, they're doing push-ups, they're running through mud, they're doing everything. But it comes time for him to do firearm training. But Desmond will not pick up a gun. He will not pick up a gun. I want to show you guys a quick clip of what happens here. So Desmond, after this point, is condemned by everyone. He is ridiculed by his sergeant in the clip there. He's ridiculed by the base commander. He's ridiculed by his fellow barracks, I don't know, soldiers. And he's abused, he's threatened, and he is at some point physically hurt because he will not pick up a gun. And not just so that he won't pick up a gun, but because he is a Christian, because he's doing it for the faith, people immediately begin to harp on him. They begin to beat him during the nighttime. They begin to play terrible pranks on him. Many days waking up with bruises all over his face and a bloody nose because his fellow soldiers hated him so much for not picking up arms. And that is a question that runs throughout this movie, is this idea of, well, you went to war, why aren't you willing to pick up a gun? And Desmond asks himself this question, should I be willing to do this? Or should I stick to what I believe? Why did I even join the army if this is the place that I am going to be? But I want to pick up here with our very first point that I want you guys to take home from this movie, is this idea of perseverance. This heavy, heavy idea of perseverance. The first part of this perseverance is the idea that Desmond continued throughout the entire film to stand up for what he believes in. After this ridicule in the base, Desmond goes to the office for his furlough time, for his vacation, so that he can go home and see his brother and see his future wife. And during this time, what ends up happening is that the base commander denies his furlough. And furthermore, after Desmond objects to this, he ends up going in to get court-martialed because he will not pick up a firearm. It was a terrible time. It was a terrible thing that was happening. But he continued to stand up for what he believed in, and he did not back down. All they said, pick up a rifle and we will let you go. We will let you go back. You don't even have to shoot it, just pick it up. And he said, I will not pick up a gun. I will not. And he was on trial for disobeying a direct order. But even so, Desmond continued to stand up for what he believes in. Even though he was hurt, he was bleeding in the barracks, though he was mentally hurt when he was in the prison cell awaiting his trial, he continued to stand up for what he believed in. But along with this, the second idea is that though he stood up for what he believed in, he didn't stand there complaining. He didn't complain. Why are they doing this? He did ask that question, but he didn't say, oh, I want to get them when I get out of here. I'm really going to prove them wrong. Desmond didn't make a fuss. Desmond knew the consequences of his actions. He knew he could leave at any time, but he said, no, I'm going to be a medic, and I'm going to save life, not take it, while this terrible war is going on. In the movie, it portrays that he even misses his wedding day during his time in prison for the court-martial. And during this time, he asks himself, did I do the right thing? But in the end, he comes to the idea that I will stand up for what I believe in. What kind of man does it make me if I do not stand up for what I believe in? This guy's doing a lot better than I would have. I can tell you that for sure. I want you to take this home with you, this idea that even in the end with the court-martial, Desmond wins this, and he's able to go as a medic onto the front lines. But even though he won, it wouldn't have mattered because he was still willing to face the consequences, even if he lost. He had authority above him, and he knew what he was getting into. He knew it. They gave him a chance to leave, but he said, no, I want to fulfill the mission that God gave me to save life on the front lines of this terrible war. Wow. This is a Christian devoted to God. Wow. I want to read a quick scripture from James 1, 12 to 15, just to kind of let this settle in. Blessed is the one who endures trials, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. No one undergoing a trial should say, I'm being tempted by God, since God is not tempted by evil, and he himself doesn't tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own evil desire. Then, after the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. Desmond did not allow this temptation to give birth to death in him. I know what I believe in. I know what God has called me to. I will not be led away. I'm going to go through this trial. I'm going to go through this test, even if it has consequences. Looking at Desmond's story, it's really easy to be convicted by this whole story. There's so many times in my life that I look and I'm like, wow, I really chickened out of that, didn't I? I really should have stood up for that. But I don't want you guys to feel condemned by this, but I want you guys to feel encouraged by the idea that somebody went through such a terrible trial, but God got them through the other side. God brought Desmond through the other side of this, even though he was willing to take the consequences. Coming up to the second part of this film, there's kind of two big ones. There's the first part where with Desmond's family and the boot camp, but then there's a second part where the actual war is raging on. This war, it's happening at the latter end of World War II in 1945 on the island of Okinawa, Japan. It's a series of islands off the west coast of Japan, and the United States was trying to cut off supply lines for the Japanese, along with other things, trying to kind of wean them down at the latter end of the war. Here's the thing is that this platoon that Desmond was part of, their goal was to clear this ridge that had been such a pain for the U.S. military. They had to continue to try to take this ridge over and over and over, and some researchers say that almost 24,000 people had died trying to take this ridge between Japanese and American soldiers. It was a terrible, terrible time for both armies, but the Japanese would not relent. I want to show you guys a clip of what this ridge was like from the movie. It was such a terrible time. You can see this vertical cliff. What was happening is that the Japanese were waiting at the very top of this vertical cliff, and the Americans, they had to climb right to the top of this cliff. So as they were coming up to the top of the cliff, they were just getting slaughtered by the Japanese. It was terrible. There was war crimes going on. And honestly, it was something that we can look back to and we can say, wow, this world is really, really messed up. Some really bad things have happened. But Desmond, he was part of this platoon of soldiers that was going up the ladder. And there was fear in their hearts as they were all ascending this ladder. But one thing happened. They got to the very top. A ship had recently just bombed the entire ridge, so there was a cloud of smoke throughout the entire thing. They began to proceed towards the Japanese encampment, and as they were going, through the cover of smoke, the Japanese opened fire on them, leading to many, many casualties across the board. So many lost their lives that day. But as they were retreating, because they could not, they couldn't counter this Japanese attack because there was no cover anywhere, they retreated. And as they retreated, there was other American soldiers on the ground, wounded, screaming out for help, screaming because of their wounds from this attack. And they were just left there because they could not bring them back down. They had to leave them. They had to leave their fellow brothers. It was terrible. As they retreated to the bridge, Desmond stood on the edge. He looked at the ladder. He said this would be the easy way out in his mind. But then he turned back to the cloud of smoke that had just formed. And he listened and he heard the screams of hundreds of American soldiers screaming out for help. Screaming out for someone to come and save them. Someone to come and help them because they couldn't move. All the others descended the bridge without haste, no questions asked. But Desmond, through his conviction to save, he stayed at the top of the ridge. He stayed at the top. What ends up happening is Desmond, he runs into the smoke and he begins one by one saving these American soldiers, that his fallen brothers that can't move, that are wounded. And he begins saving them one by one. Japanese soldiers all around them, hiding in trenches, hiding in behind trees and behind rubble, and slowly beginning to pull each one back from the top of the cliff over the ridge and lowering them down with this rope while his hands are becoming rope burned. You saw the size of that cliff, with that ridge. It was a terrible, terrible time. But Desmond, he continued to go. He continued to persevere, and he continued to sacrifice. Soon their cloud cover lifted, and Desmond had to wait for the night because the Japanese soldiers were searching and searching and searching. But all throughout the night, Desmond continued to lower people back to safety. He continued to do it over all of these people he continued to lower. Now, through this, I want you guys to see the second point here. This idea of sacrifice. This idea that though Desmond could have left, though he could have gone back, he decided in himself, God has put me here for a reason. I'm going to use myself as a living sacrifice to help these people, to save these people, because this is my call. This is my calling. See, Desmond, though he was covered in blood, though he was hurting, though he had rope burn all down his hands, though he had seen traumas unimaginable, so many dead, he continued to push forward. He was battle scarred, but he continued to risk his life for the people. I want to show you guys another clip of Desmond saving life. Throughout the end, there's probably a 3-minute portion of this movie where Desmond, he continues through the dark of night to go and grab more. But here's the thing, is what makes me so emotional during this movie is when he's grabbing these men, he says, just give me one more, Lord. Let me save one more, God. Let me save one more, God. Let me just save one more. Let me do it, Lord. And each time he goes back, let me get one more. He lowers them down. Let me get one more. He didn't do this because he was just a nice person, because there's lots of nice people out there. He didn't do this for fame, and he didn't do this for a promotion, but he did it because it was his call. It was his call to be a sacrificial person. It was his call to be a living sacrifice. Desmond was bent on saving as many people that day as possible and doing it all for the glory of God. And he even ended up saving two or three Japanese soldiers that had unimaginable wounds, and he lowered them down too. Desmond wasn't just doing this for the United States. He was doing this for God, saving those who needed it. That day, Desmond saved 75 soldiers on that ridge. It took 10 to 14 hours for him to lower all of those men down. And as he was at the top, he himself had to be lowered down from the top because he could not climb the ladder back down. When he came back down, Desmond's platoon was shocked beyond belief. They had no clue who was lowering these men down, and they thought it was some lone hero, some muscular macho man, but who it was with this was the stick-like medic, Desmond Doss, that they had all been insulting this entire time. This whole time they had insulted this guy for believing in what he believed in, but when he came down and they saw his face, it all made sense to them. Some soldiers even asked for forgiveness for putting condemnation on Desmond for what he did. And he completely changed the hearts of all the soldiers that day. See, Desmond, he sacrificed all that he was as a person. He sacrificed everything just to save the lives of those who had hurt him, who had harmed him, who had condemned him. He was known as the person who would not fight. But he sacrificed more than any man could have that day. I want to read a few scriptures here. Romans 12:1-2. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and the perfect will of God. Hebrews 13:14-16 says, for we do not have an enduring city here. Instead, we seek the one to come. Therefore, through him, let us continue to offer up to God a sacrifice of praises that is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Don't neglect to do what is good and to share, for God is pleased with such sacrifices. See, Desmond gave himself not just as a sacrificial man, but as a man who was living out these scriptures, a man who was living out being a living sacrifice. What, to you guys, what is a living sacrifice? Have you guys heard that term before? Living sacrifice. I want to share with you guys this, a really simple kind of summary of what a living sacrifice is in our world as Christians. It's somebody who is willing to do everything for God. Somebody who is willing to be obedient to God to the very end and willing to give it all up for Jesus. It's not our lives that we own, but God's. Our lives belong to God. And Desmond lived this out. He lived out this experience. But today I want to ask you guys, how can we apply this experience of Desmond's to our own? Because honestly, looking at this movie, it's a massive thing for us to undertake. Well, I'm probably not going to go to war, and I'm probably not going to save 75 men on top of a cliff surrounded by enemies with guns. I'm probably not going to do that. But being a living sacrifice isn't just doing something this large, this extravagant. Being a living sacrifice is in the small day-to-day. It's in how we live our lives. Being a living sacrifice means that we sacrifice time for our families, sacrifice time for God, sacrifice privacy when maybe we are on a drive back from Lethbridge and we see someone who needs a ride. Maybe it's sacrificing money so that somebody can have a meal. Being a living sacrifice is not just one thing that happens, but being a living sacrifice is a lifestyle. And that's what Desmond Doss shows us today through this movie. Though there's so many scenes where there's war going on, where there's bloodshed going on, where there's terrible war crimes happening, by the end of the film, what we can see is Desmond lived his life as a living sacrifice for those around him. Not just for God, but for those around him. For those who criticized him. For those who hated him. He lived as a living sacrifice to serve those. And he put himself last. See, for us today, I want to share with you guys that being a Christian in the Christian world, sacrifice is a necessary component of how we live our life with God. Sacrifice is necessary. And you might ask, oh, Ewan, you know, I don't really want to sacrifice. And of course, nobody does. But one of our calls is to live like Jesus did. A lot of people have heard that before. Oh, I need to walk like Jesus walked. And one of the largest accomplishments that Jesus did on the earth was sacrifice himself so that we would be forgiven of all of our sins. So that we would be forgiven and that we could have relationship with him for all of eternity. Being a living sacrifice is a requirement for Christians. Because for us, it means that we're walking like Jesus. We have to walk like Jesus. It's such a simple thing, you know. It's something that it's like, oh man, this seems so hard. And yes, it is difficult. But in the end of the day, we read the Bible. We read what Jesus did. We have to walk like him. We have to live our life as a living sacrifice, looking to all people around us and serving them like Desmond did. I want to show you one last clip of the movie. This is what happens at the end of the movie when Desmond comes down and he chats with his superior officer and how this movie ends, because it is really quite amazing. He earned the respect of his fellow soldiers because of what he believed in. Through the way that he persevered to the way that he sacrificed for them, Desmond showed these other soldiers the importance of having faith in God, so much so that they had him pray for them before they went up on their second attempt to take the ridge. And on that second attempt, they took the ridge after months of struggle. They took the ridge. No more bloodshed on that ridge, and one step closer to World War II ending. It is one of those things of, it's a hard idea to take in, but God worked through Desmond that day for his fellow soldiers. And even for those Japanese men that he saved, God worked through him, and he impacted the lives of so many. Later, he developed a lung disease, and he was no longer able to continue in service. But Desmond, he was awarded some of the highest honors, like the Medal of Honor, multiple Purple Hearts. He was honored beyond belief, not just for himself, but to him, though there's not a part in the movie that says it, to him, those medals were not for him. For him, those medals were for God. Having undying faith in God. See, the bottom line for today, you guys, is that Desmond's story shows us that sacrifice requires perseverance. Or I have it a little bit different here. Perseverance will never work without sacrifice. It will never work without sacrifice. We have to have the two. This movie shows us a very important lesson. We can't just be sacrificial Christians without having perseverance, right? We have to persevere first so that when we go to help sacrifice, when we go to sacrifice for others, when we give our time, when we give our patience, when we give our money, when we give our life, we can follow through to the end like Desmond did. Because he followed through to the end and he sacrificed all he was for people. Today, I want you guys to pray for perseverance so that we can all sacrifice better. The more perseverance that we have as the body of Christ, the better that we can sacrifice for Pincher Creek. The better that we can sacrifice for those around us, for our friends, for our coworkers. I ask you guys to pray for this. Pray for perseverance. Read your Bible. Look up what perseverance is through the Christian narrative. But I ask you guys today, pray for perseverance. Pray for endurance in the race, for trials, that we can sacrifice better for Jesus' mission. God, thank you for today. We ask right now just for your blessing on us today, But we ask right now that you will help us in perseverance, that you'll help us in what we're doing in this town, whether it's with our friends or with our family or with our coworkers, God, or the people around us. We ask that you will help us to persevere so that we can begin to sacrifice for them, because it is very hard to sacrifice, God. It is a very hard thing to do. Why would I sacrifice when I can have an easy life? That's a question that we all ask ourselves. But God, I ask that you will take that question away and you will replace it with, I can't not sacrifice. Jesus did it all for me. Thank you, Lord. Be with us today, Jesus. Right now, if you have heard what God has been doing, if you've heard what God has done for you today, I want to put an invitation out to you as a church, as those who are new. Maybe you've never heard this message before, that Jesus loves you, unimaginably so. But I want to put this invitation out to you of salvation, of forgiveness, but of coming to know Christ as your only Savior. If you today want to give your life to Jesus, I'll make sure that everyone's heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want you to say this prayer with me today. We can all say it together as a church. Jesus, thank you for who you are. God, I ask for your forgiveness. God, I've sinned. And God, I want you as my Savior. Lord, today I give my life to you. And I give everything I have. Help me to be a living sacrifice and honor you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. With all heads bowed still, I'd like to ask if anybody has given their life to Jesus, if you want to pop a hand up quick and we'd be able to connect with you afterwards. Awesome. Thank you so much. Well, God, thank you for today. We're so thankful for everything that you're doing. I ask as we begin to go, Lord, for church, we'd ask right now that you will be with us for the rest of this day. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.